Hello, and welcome back to As It Is, the program that helps you learn and improve your American English. At the same time, we talk about world events that may affect you, your country, or your friends. Today, we turn to China, where some Muslims are being told they cannot participate fully in Ramadan, the holy time they celebrate once a year. We will tell you why. Then, something that makes our lives much easier is doing great harm to the world's oceans. Stay with us to find out what it is and what we can do to make things better. As It is coming to you from Washington. Now, on to part one. Some local governments and organizations have published notices in China's Xinjiang Uyghur Autonomous Region. They are barring students and government workers from taking part in traditional fasting during the Islamic holy month of Ramadan. Some China experts say the ban on fasting is not new, but it could fuel tensions in Xinjiang. Christopher Cruz has more on the story.
Muslims around the world, including Uyghurs in Xinjiang, are observing Ramadan. During the month, they are not supposed to eat between sunrise and sunset. But many in Xinjiang have been told they must eat during the day. They include government workers, teachers, and students. June Tuffel Dreyer teaches political science at Miami University. She says Chinese officials often say they are enforcing the ban on fasting for health reasons.
I am aware that it is actually nothing new. They have prohibited this before during Ramadan. And it is always presented as a health issue, that you shouldn't deprive yourself of food. Students need to keep their energy up to study, and civil servants need to keep their energy up to do their jobs properly, and so on.
Professor Tuffel Dreyer says the ban has become a sensitive issue, partly because of the recent violence in Xinjiang. Reza Hazmath is with Oxford University in England. He has published several books about China's ethnic minorities. He says the ban will worsen problems in Xinjiang.
There is heightened tensions in Xinjiang among the Uyghurs, particularly given the flash ethnic violence that's been occurring in the last year and a bit. And so this just reinforces more antagonism, if anything.
Alim Satoff is the president of the Uyghur American Association. He was born in Xinjiang. He believes the ban will worsen tensions. He says it violates China's statements that it does not restrict the beliefs of ethnic and religious minorities.
In fact, it means China does not have any preferential policy. It actually opposes Uyghurs, religious belief. It is an anti-religion policy. So many Uyghurs, including myself, dislike this policy very much.
There has been conflict between Uyghurs and China's majority Han Chinese for many years, but it has worsened recently. In May, two cars that many believed were driven by Uyghurs drove through a crowded market in Urumqi. People in the cars threw explosives at the crowd. At least 39 people died, and more than 100 were injured. I'm Christopher Cruz.
A new report says plastics are responsible for $13 billion in damage to the oceans and the undersea environment. The findings were announced recently at a United Nations conference in Nairobi, Kenya. The report tells about harm to sea life and what might be done to improve the situation. Plastic thrown away carelessly makes its way into rivers and other waterways. The plastic eventually reaches coastal areas and ocean waters. After a while, it collects in the sea, and plastic never goes away. Nancy Wallace heads the Marine Debris Program at NOAA, America's National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. She says plastic is not biodegradable, destroyed by bacteria or natural processes. Instead, it just breaks up into smaller pieces over time. Nancy Wallace says the oceans contain a lot of chemicals and other pollutants. She notes that chemicals like DDT are now illegal, but she says the remains of such products may find their way to plastics floating in seawater. Then fish may eat the plastics. That means harmful material may get into our food supply. But the NOAA expert says people can make a big difference. She suggests using fewer single-use product containers and throwing plastics away correctly. She also likes plastic recycling programs where old bottles and other plastics are collected, broken down, and used to make new products. Nancy Wallace says people should really care about the environment. She says human beings cause pollution, and they can take steps to stop it. Richard Matteson leads TrueCost, the company that presented a report at the UN Environment Assembly in Nairobi. He says the findings suggest another way, a business plan that opens new markets for plastic products that last. Mr. Matteson spoke to VOA on Skype.
You could reduce the energy intensity of plastics production by using renewable energy sources. You could reuse bottles in our households many, many times over if we wish to, rather than just bin it after a first use. We could, when we get rid of that plastic, recycle it and reuse it, which replaces the need for virgin raw materials.
Andrew Russell directs the Plastics Disclosure Project, which released another report at the UN conference. He calls on companies to improve methods for using plastics. The report asks for them to better measure and direct plastic use. And he said it calls for information about the way plastic is thrown out or removed from use. Mr. Russell spoke to VOA over Skype. He said industry could save money.
We also see them to be much more aware, much more cognizant of risks they face in the environment from a reputation perspective or from a regulatory perspective. And if they think about plastics the same way they do other things, then I think these opportunities will present themselves.
Mr. Russell says that by putting a new value on plastic, industry has a special reason to clean up the environment. But he also says all of society must join to deal with the problem. Many of you write to us and ask about things here in the United States. Well, not everything is so serious in the States. Probably just like you, we like to have a lot of fun. For instance, up in Laverne, Minnesota, they are having the 52nd annual Hot Dog Night, and officials are giving away thousands of the delicious treats. You may know them as Franks, Frankfurters, or hot dogs, but they are a favorite food nearly everywhere in the United States. People in Gearing, Nebraska are celebrating Oregon Trail Days. It's a time to remember the pioneers who first traveled west into what would become part of the United States. In Nebraska, they are dancing in the streets, having lots of good food and music, and buying handmade art. And up in Wolf Point, Montana, there is a wild horse stampede, or race. People are also looking at items made by Native Americans and learning how they lived before our country became the United States. And for us, the As It Is team, another workday is done. Thank you for spending some time with us today. Promise to come back tomorrow and we'll be here. Learning English is a part of the Voice of America, and we are coming to you from Washington.